Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, yeah. A-Dream in the building. Shout out to Bree.
What up, Bree?
And we finna go in. Look,
yes, sir.
Look. We came to break down a few topics here. So if you got time, sit and acknowledge it. Positive, uplifting, and honest here. Keep your ears open and soaking all the words spoken. A couple of jokes to keep it fun, get your laugh on. And maybe a few pointers to get your cash on. See Bree, she all about building. Straight up out the NY, Brooklyn in the building. All the way down to the southern states. West Coast on up to the Great Lakes. So you fragging that gold, so if you ain't fragile, through the net connection, we streaming you to Mexico.
So welcome to the life of Bree, breaking down relationships to the third degree.
This is the Bree life, what you live in life.
Welcome to the Bree life,
how we live in life.
From politics to the current events, economics to race, whether you're poor or you're rich.
This is the Bree life, what you live in life.
Welcome to the Bree life,
how we live in life.
Coming to you live and streaming to all four points of the globe. It's your girl, Brooklyn born and Crown Heights raised. Living life and breathing life. It's for real.
Peace and blessings. You have reached the Bree Life Radio Show. It's Thursday, and you know what we do best on Thursday, we freestyle. And tonight I'm being joined with one of my most illustrious, as he introduces me, co-host, Mark, in Houston, Texas.
Houston,
what's up, Mark?
Houston, we have a problem. We have a problem, Houston.
I'm sorry?
I said, Houston, we have a problem.
Yes, Houston, we have a problem with Mark, as
problem.
Usual.
We have Texas. A problem.
Yeah. So what's really going on, Bree Life fam, bam? I know y'all out there listening. This is Mark Said, also known as Mark, in Houston. So what's going on, Bree, baby?
Well, what's going on? A few things are going on. At the top of the show, like to do house cleaning, as we call, or housekeeping, as we call it. So let's jump right in. The first thing that I really, really need to do is to give an enormous amount of condolences to my friends slash family. From Crown Street, the Clark family, where my very good friend Adrian that I grew up with was murdered 2 days ago. And it's a very, very rough time in the neighborhood because coming home from work today, I was being stopped in the street. My phone has been blowing up. And people have been talking about it because it was aired on the news. So I just wanna send a shout out to the Clark family, Bree Life Radio, and you know your girl Sabrina and her family. From my family are thinking about you in this hour of sadness for your loss. So just have to put that out there. In the universe, Adrian was a wonderful woman, and she's going to greatly be missed by family and friends. Also, shortly before I even got into the house, I was approached by other friends of mine who I grew up with, who told me we lost another friend this week. My friend Cliff that I grew up with, he drowned at Miami Beach. The undertow was the ocean was a bit rough, and he was swimming, and the undertow took him out, and he drowned. So this is like a very, very sad day on the Bree Life radio show. I've been contacted that I've lost two of my very good friends that I grew up with, all in a matter of a 48-hour period. So, but life is beautiful, and this just goes to show us how precious it is, and that when you love somebody or you care about someone, you got to let them know every chance you get, because you never know, the opportunity might not be available to you because they can be gone in a split second. And it's unfortunate because these are people who I was very much looking forward to seeing over the summer with, you know, reunions and events that were going to be taking place here in Crown Heights and throughout Brooklyn. So these are two people that are going to greatly be missed. So thank you for allowing me to share that. And we send condolences out to Cliff's family as well, from the Real Life Radio Show and your girl, Sabrina. Also, on a brighter note, there are a few people that I wanna thank for some very special things, but we'll wait till they come on the line later on in the show. There'll be birthday shout outs, because, you know, we always like to acknowledge life as well. So we'll be giving some birthday shout outs later on in the show. Mark, is there anything, any housekeeping that you'd like to do this evening?
No, well, by this being Thursday and the week will be over, and we won't be on air before then, I just want to say happy Father's Day, man, to all the fathers. You know,
oh, absolutely.
I am a father, so therefore I will send a shout-out to me and the rest of the brothers out here that's fathers. You know what I'm saying? By both my birth and my deed, because I know some people want to say, well, you don't be acting like he's a father. He's still a father. We love all the mans, the daddies, the fathers, the brothers. You know, hey, if they light ain't on yet, we want it to come on. If it's going on, let's keep it shining bright. So happy Father's Day, everybody. Oh, and Juneteenth. Oh, I'm in Houston, Texas. I got to tell you about Houston, Texas. Houston, Texas is an interesting place because Houston, Texas, it's not that far from, Galveston. And in this area, we celebrate, and actually other places in around the country celebrate, Juneteenth. Now, a lot of people may not know what Juneteenth is, but Juneteenth is the day that basically some people call it Freedom Day or and even Emancipation Day. But the United States of Texas at the time, that's what it was called, United States of Texas, in 1865, finally decided to say, hey, we agree with the rest of the country, the slaves should be free. The slaves should be free, you know. So that's what we're celebrating this weekend, Juneteenth. That was on June 19th, 1865. So, yeah, and the funny thing about it is, they have some celebrations down here. But, you know, one of the biggest celebrations in the country is in a state which most people wouldn't even know is Minnesota. I mean, the black community in Minnesota comes out unbelievably in droves for it to only be 7% of the population up there. They have one of the largest Juneteenth celebrations in the country. So,
wow.
Yeah, Juneteenth. Slavery Emancipation Day, y'all.
Well, thank you for sharing that bit of black history with us, Mark. We can always count on you for those historical facts. Thank you very much. And, yeah, Father's Day. There's a few fathers I want to send some shout-outs to. I want to send a shout-out to my co-host, Mark. He's a wonderful father. His children love him so much. You can see the efforts that he put into his children because, you know, there's some great young women and men. So, yes, Mark in Houston, Texas, happy Father's Day.
Well, thank you very much, Sister Bree.
And I can go down the list. I mean, I specifically want to thank and celebrate these fathers. Twan Evans, our brother Twan, Ricky and Alex Leaf, happy Father's Day. My both my friends Gary, my brother Gary, and my very good friend Gary, happy Father's Day. My friend Jeff, I want to give him a big happy Father's Day. Cousin Timmy, my friend Bill Cohen in Charlotte. There's so many. My friend Kevin Coleman. My ex husband. I want to send him a happy Father's Day. Just throughout the show, I'm probably going to be dropping some names because I want to make sure that I send the shout outs to everyone, because ironically enough, all these people, they support the show. Even my ex-husband, he's told me he's listened to the show, so, which I'm not surprised, because he want to make sure I'm not talking about him, and if I am, I'm being accurate.
Be accurate. There you go. That's all we care about. Be accurate.
Yeah, right.
Be accurate.
Yeah.
That's what you say. Accurate.
Accurate. All right. So,
yeah.
Wait, I have opened up the chat line.
Uh-oh.
You can follow us on blogtalkradio.com/BreeLife and get into the chat room. You can also follow us on Facebook at Bree Life Radio, Twitter at Bree Life Radio, and where else are we? We're on Blog Talk Radio, and we are freestyling. So I think what we're going to do at this time, we're going to take a commercial break, and when we return, we are going to bring one of our loyal guest panelists, Brother Twan, on the line, and we're going to start freestyling. So we will be back in about a minute. Stay tuned.
In 1 second of 1 minute, it only takes one word, one gesture, one story, one idea, one hug, one kiss, one smile, one hand, one look, one touch, one dream.
Everybody got a dream.
One gift. And one person to do one of these things to make one difference. Oh, yeah. Before I go,
one thought.
One thought.
One thought.
Will you be the one to do at least one of these things? Today's segment has been brought to you by the number.
One.
It's been Mark Said It in under
1 minute.
And we're back, and it's Freestyle Thursday. I'm your host, Bree, and I'm joined with my co-host, Mark, in Houston, Texas. Welcome back, Mark.
Yep, I'm back.
And he's back.
That's right. Miami 8, Oklahoma City 2. Go ahead.
So, Mark, who do you have in the championship before we bring Brother Twan on?
I'm going with OKC. I am a
Durant
fan.
I'm
a Bulls fan all the way. Not an Eastern Conference fan, a Bulls fan. So, Bulls ain't there, and I like Kevin Durant. He went to UT here, University of Texas at Austin. You know I like the brother, you know, and that's right up the road. I-35 ain't that far from here. So, you know what? I'm going to show love to OKC. So, yeah, Kevin Durant, baby. Westbrook, Perkins, you know, everybody.
Okay. So without further ado, we're going to bring Brother Twan on the line, and we're going to find out what his freestyle is tonight.
Hey, everybody. How's everybody doing? Yay.
Hold on, hey, brother. Bree. What's going on?
Hey, baby.
Hey. Happy Father's Day,
hey.
Man. Marky, my man. Hey.
I appreciate that, Twine. Happy Father's Day to you, too, my brother.
Yeah. This is the men's time. This is the cave club. You know what I'm saying?
I don't know if women are going to like that.
Well, you know, this is freestyle, so they're going to have to get a hold on it. They're going to have to get with it.
Women.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Women ain't going to like that, or Betty. Women or Betty ain't going to like that, so I don't know.
So,
Twan.
Yeah.
What is your freestyle? It's Thursday, baby.
Yeah,
I need to know.
My brain ain't working as well today. I was thinking about some of the brothers I see on the corner. You know, I was wondering, you know, I mean, I got a problem with brothers with their pants hanging half down. I saw that today, and I just wanted to, like, you know, I didn't really want to, you know, pull them to the side. And I wanted to know, my freestyle was like, why are we like that? Why do brothers do that? What is that all about? Is it swagger, they say? What? I don't understand that.
Okay.
Well,
I'll jump in. You know,
yes,
I got some specific feelings about that. Me, I ain't have no problem with it. I just look at it like this. I come from a generation where people had questions about all kind of stuff that us as young folks dressed. We had our bell bottom pants that was up on our shoes. We had platforms on. We had all kinds of things. And although people want to quickly show why that was different than what these brothers is doing, it's really the same thing. It really is the same thing. It is nothing but a fashion, social thing that they do amongst themselves in public. Some of it may be about defiance. But for the most part, that's their style. That's their swag. You know what I'm saying? Of course, for me and you, we don't choose to dress like that. But my thing is, and I hear a lot of brothers that say this, and to me, I've taken the task a lot of brothers, and I'm not saying you're one of these brothers, but I always hear guys say they want to say something to them brothers about their pants. I'm like, you know what? If you want to say something to them about their pants, say something to them about how they doing, period, in their life. How are they? Be somebody to them, because the reality is this. While you may, and I'm not talking, and again, I am not talking about you, but this is one of the things because I work with this population, because I understand that most of them don't have any relationships with older guys anyway. So if the first thing that you're going to say to a young man is pull your pants up, that means you care more about his pants than you care about him. And I can guarantee you, because I have some very well-raised sons that are working and doing everything else that love to sag their pants when they ain't at work. They just that's they swag. That is they swag. There's some good young men, though. Very good young men, but they like to sag. You know, and my son, I'd be like, okay, what I tell him is, why don't you just wear your drawers outside? I mean, you know, you wear your boxers. But they don't want to just wear their boxers. They want to, and the other thing is, you know, for those who are criminals out there, they run into the other problem where they got to constantly be trying to hold their pants up when they run it, which is kind of funny. But the scariest ones are the ones that had the super skinny jeans that sag in the skinny jeans. So now, how do you sag skinny jeans? Well, it's possible, but that is hilarious. Because, you know, the big old baggy jeans pants, we understand how they could possibly sag. Hell, you know, you lose a little weight, you might be sagging yours too. But these skinny jeans? Skinny jeans and boxer shorts. Wow, that's something else. But yeah, that's my thing. I think the quality of the human being should not be judged by virtue of his clothing. I would suggest to young men that if you're going to look for a job, you don't dress like that, which I have. And I always tell them, I say, look, I don't want to take your swag, but I want to put some paper in your pocket in a legal way. So therefore, when you go into the job, just pull them up. Now, once you get the job and you go down the street, you can put them back down. I'm just saying, when in Rome, do as the Romans do. I look at more as etiquette based upon what you're trying to accomplish. If I'm trying to accomplish employment or if I'm in a certain place, then my suggestion is if you want to get certain types of reactions, you want to get certain types of responses, and you want to get certain type of business done, you might want to change how you dress. But outside of that, they're on the corner, man. You know, hey, they got a bigger problem than sagging if they just on the corner anyway, to be honest. They got a whole other problem if they just on the corner and they're a black young man. But that's my two pieces in a biscuit on that.
All right.
Well, I think it's ridiculous looking. And I'm actually, and you know, my son from time to time, he forgets himself and he tries to camouflage his pants sagging by having the long shirt cover the space that he's sagging. And I'm always, you know, catching him doing this on the slide because he knows when he's around me he can't do that. But I just don't get it. I don't get it. It looks crazy.
Well, you know what, Here's the thing. I think what you said, I think about Will Smith's song when he said parents just don't understand. And it wasn't sagging there, but they didn't understand some of the loud colors and the big old apple hat. They didn't understand. Parents don't understand. They ain't supposed to understand. That's why kids just got to conform with their parents. That's why they do a lot of stuff that they do it in response to the fact that their parents got a way that they want to see them. And the kids, kids have always been created to rebel. They're doing everything that you don't want them to do for the most part, because you kind of did them too. You knew where you could do stuff. You know where you couldn't do stuff. You already know that. So, I mean, I'm almost scared of a kid that dresses like their parent likes. I'm like, what kind of kid is that? Who does that? That's a different. That really is a different kid.
Well, I think it's to answer my own thing, but I just wanted to put out there. I think it's all about our image as black men, and what image we display as a whole, and also the message that we're getting from the institutions that we're associated with, and we perpetuate and we show. You know, our image, you know, it's, and that's where I think Bree is talking about where, you know, she can't stand it. It's about presenting ourselves, not representing, but presenting ourselves with an image that is acceptable. You know, the Europeans, they'll follow what we do and they'll start, you know, wearing their pants half down. The videos start doing it to make money or to actually make it attractive. And before you know it, you know, it's accepted as an image, and I think that that's our real issue. You know, yeah. Just like you said, the older crowd like us, you know, we came from where we used to see photos where our families coming out of the South or whatever or have you, they had suit ties on and everybody was straight. Whenever they were somewhere, they, you know, they had a more representable attire. And I think that we have to understand as a people, we cannot go backwards on this. And I think it's about respect too. If I look at the other cultures, you know, I don't see nobody with a turban on with their pants half down walking around. And not respecting all cultures. I don't see Muslims, you know, you're not gonna see a Muslim do that. I don't see Christians in church walking around getting on the altar with their pants hanging off. So there's an issue there. There's a problem there, I think, of self esteem, and I think it's a problem of image on how I should reflect myself. I think that ends the history and the stereotype of actually being cool and hip is an issue also. Because if I'm me and I do what I like to do, or I do what I know I'm capable to do, and it's positive, you know, if it's hip, you know, cool, it might take me out of the characteristics of the image of what I'm trying to present, just to fit in. And I think that that's what that thing is. It's an image just to fit in. I think also, you know, you go back to gabardine pants, bell bottoms, window panes, what you want to go by. You know, we did go through our styles, but at least we were fully dressed. You didn't see nobody with
well,
big gabardine pants.
The only thing about that, though, bro, is this. And I mean, again, see, I know I'm out the box, so I'm going to go ahead and say that out the gate for everybody that's listening. Mark in Houston, Texas is, you know, he ain't your average bear, for so to speak. You know what I'm saying? I'm kind of on some Yogi the Bear stuff, you know. So I'm a little different, whatever. But my position is this. Number one, I am not dressing. And one of the points that is the biggest issue is that it's like when we were doing Say It Loud, I'm Black and I'm Proud. We wore froze, and that was not the thing to wear. That was a very unkempt way of dressing, having a fro in the 60s. That was and even early 70s. That wasn't cool. Boy, you need to cut your hair. Then we went to cornrows. Oh, hell no. You can't wear no cornrows. Look how you look. See, the problem is I am not dressing for the greater society because the greater society don't respect me anymore because I have a suit on. When I walk into a place of business with a suit on, I'm a black man. I'm not getting a whole lot more respect than the brother that sagged his pants. Because the reality is they're not respecting me. If they're not respecting me most of the time, they ain't respecting me because of the color of my skin. I can't do nothing. I can't wear no belt that's gonna help me on that one. There's no belt that's gonna help me on that. You feel me? So at the end of the day, while we really think we're gaining more friends in a dominant society, all we gain is friends to say, hey, John, come here. Why are your little boys out there dressing like that? He don't care about you. And so I'm not dressing for them, number one. Number two, whatever your customs are, whether it be your religious customs, your cultural customs, your familial customs, they're your customs. But that's for conformity. So what people are looking for is conformity. And I'm going to tell you, one of the biggest things is this. I look at some of the results that the people that don't sag their pants are getting, and they don't really impress me. So I think that a lot of young folks feel the same way. You know, and it is an image. But I care about what a white man look at me and thinks. So now if he thinks better of me, I feel what a... You know, when a dominant culture says, oh, look at that black boy, he looks so whatever. That's patronizing me at that point. So now you want to stigmatize and demean me when I sag, and then you want to patronize me when I look like you. I'm just not the one. I'm outside the box. I ain't mad. Like I said, I like to talk to young men. I like to find out where they are. I like to suggest to them things that they can do to get further. If they want to play a game, I tell them, if you really want to play the game, if you want to get into the system and do the system, then you can't dress like this. They're not going to accept that. Depends on what your goal is. If you are trying to be a rapper or a ball player, you can do that then. And don't get it twisted. Hey, you may be that ball player. You may be that rapper. You feel me? It depends on where you're trying to go. For me, you know, again, I'm not trying to impress no religious institution because religious institutions betray the people anyway. They tell them how to do, what to do, how to be, what to be. But then, you know, hey, they betray them anyway. So I'm not so worried about that. I got a vertical relationship with me and my God and my maker, and I don't think it has nothing to do with me. I think it's a naked me that's worshiping. I don't think it's a clothed me that's worshiping anyway because he sees beyond that. Whoever he or she or the universe is, they know me way beyond some garments. And garments have changed through the years anyway. So men used to wear robes. Folks in England used to wear kilts. Folks do all kinds of things. Folks in the Congo wearing, look like they wear, what you call those things? What the women wear? You know, the bikini drawers or whatever. You know, I don't know. They walking around wherever they walk around in. You feel me? I mean, dress is dress, you know what I'm saying? But when religion gets involved and cults, isn't the man on me being a certain conforming? I understand. Like I said, I am John that's sagging his pants, even though I don't sag my pants. I get it straight because that's not a preference to me. It's not a preference to me. But I don't think that they value me, that I'm being valued by the dominant society. When it says a bad look, I don't know what's a bad look. Who is it coming from? Bad look to who?
Interesting.
Okay. Well,
I'm just saying.
Burning question.
Come on. I was asking them, who am I looking bad to? Because you're saying it doesn't. Who is it looking bad to?
You asking me?
Yes, sir.
Well, I'm gonna let you know. My thing. All right. You got one point where you can say somebody can look at you and say, hey, that looks good. So I guess you want to put choice of preference. But when I look at, and I'm not trying to go religious, but when I look at the moralistic value of it, of, you know, walking around in your underwear, half showing, to me that's delinquent. That's to me. To me, that image is a delinquent image because you're really, you know, it's like an oxymoron. Like, I'm going to take my pants off. For what? You know, cover yourself up. Why are you trying to expose yourself in public? What kind of attention do you want? It grabs attention, and that there tells you that's an issue in itself. If I wear a suit, shirt and tie, I'm gonna grab attention too. But you choose that image over with me having some checkered redneck. That's why I said it, redneck, because it's an acceptable term today, or country red and white checkered underwear with some jeans with a belt hanging halfway off, with baggy pants and some sneakers. And I'm looking at that, and I'm like, okay, what are you trying to say? You know, my image is like this.
But the thing that bothers you the most is that you're not accustomed to that. First of all, you don't like the way it looks. You don't like the way it looks because if that's kind of a we can real deep to say the reason that Adam and Eve, you know, they covered themselves up because they was in sin. They would have stayed naked. So you know, covering up is actually if you want to get super religious and deep about it, that's kind of a form of people denying themselves.
Adam and Eve, they never picked cotton either. You know what I'm saying? And I want to.
Oh, well, I don't know. Well, I ain't worried about it. I never picked cotton either. So
no,
I ain't got to worry. I never picked cotton ever in my life.
They didn't have material to cover themselves. They didn't have material to cover themselves. That's why I was going with that.
They got a leaf. They had a leaf.
They had a better leaf than we got.
There you go. Hey, you know what, though? I love my brothers. All of them, the ones in the pinstripes, the ones showing the stripes on their drawers. I'm cool with all of them. I ain't worried about it.
I like
we all got the same struggle. We all got the same struggle. We all got the same struggle. Some might think that if you put a suit on, that might better your struggle. But then when I see all the brothers that's unemployed right now that have suits on, I don't know. I don't know how better it is. I don't know. I mean, but I'll go ahead and go along with the idea that we might need to have our pants. I don't know if that's going to further our position in society if all of us had our pants on our ass. Maybe it did, because guess what? Sacking pants is a new phenomenon. And really, to be honest, there was a whole lot of unemployed brothers before sagging pants, before afros and everything else, and cotton fields and everything else, and it's going to probably be some once they, the rest, the, you know, because one thing about it is most of these things are fads and they come and go. So as this will go, this too will pass. That's why I don't really worry about it. You know, this too will pass. It'll pass. Everybody ain't going to be sagging for long. It's like, think about skinny jeans. There's no way I would have thought about nobody wearing these skinny jeans 10 years ago, not just 10 years ago. Remember, they used to wear the super big white tees that were almost like dresses. They don't wear them no more. A lot of stuff has changed. Because when they was wearing the super long white tees, they weren't sagging. You couldn't see it anyway. The pants might have been baggy, but you couldn't see no drawers because they looked like they had a dress on. So these are just fads. I mean, I think, like I said, we need to, if we're really going to care about young men, we really need to understand that there's a lot of things that are attacking them. And granted, even if we can get them all to pull their pants up, it's not going to probably change their unemployment rate. It's not going to probably change the level of poverty either. But they'll look better. They will look better. And everybody will feel a little better because they look better now because they got their pants on their ass. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think that's like, you know, I don't know. That's for me, that's just a little bit too, you know. But I don't know. I mean, obviously, it is my opinion, and everybody has a right to theirs, but I just think that's kind of like, you know, I don't know. I don't know, bro, but I ain't mad at you. I'm
great.
Cool with it. Well, my freestyle.
So what we're going to do now, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to continue the discussion because we're freestyling. So stay tuned.
Just the other day, I was involved in a very passionate and provocative discourse on race, race, race. You know, race, as in skin color differentiation and definition. And I came away with a thought. Injustice is never justified. But you'll never attain it by simply switching the color of the controller.
The color of who's in power.
To believe a person will administer justice to you just because he looks like you is a romantic psychological construct.
That don't always work.
Justice can only come from those who are just, and that may not include the us that looks like you.
I'm just saying.
This has been Mark Said It in Under a Minute.
And we're back, and it's Freestyle Thursdays, and I'm joined with my co-host, Mark, in Houston, Texas. And our committed guest panelist, Twan, in Places Unknown. Gentlemen. Good evening.
Yeah.
Okay. So, we're freestyling. Mark, we had a brief conversation before we aired the show, and there was a freestyle that you wanted to broach. I just wanted to remind you of that. So what are you freestyling about?
Well, you know what? I changed that up, but I'm gonna do it anyway. I got two freestyles. I got two, but I'm gonna start off with the one that you are talking about. And that one is this. Johnny meets Jenny. And Johnny likes Jenny. And Jenny likes Johnny. And Johnny likes Jenny. Jenny likes Johnny. But Johnny likes Jenny. So now, we have established that they both like each other. So what's the problem? Well, it's a word called pace. Or speed. Or lack thereof. So, here's the situation. Johnny likes Jenny. Jenny likes Johnny. They love spending time with each other. It's been really a blast. Johnny wants to go somewhere else, though. Johnny is not happy with planet Earth. He wants to visit the moon. Jenny enjoys looking at the moon, you know, through a telescope.
From Earth.
Not so sure. Right. Not so sure she's ready to go there. But she doesn't. She actually has, you know, thought about the idea of going to the moon. But she kind of wanted to wait it to maybe after, I don't know, 3 or 4 dates. Now, here's the problem. Or I just use that as a nice setup. So what do you do when one person is going at a different pace than the other person? If one is going faster than the other person, do you speed up? Or do you slow down? Understanding that both people very seldom ever go at the same pace anyway. So, do you throw caution at the wind, Jenny, and say, you know what, Johnny wants to go, come on, I'm putting my space boots on, baby, let's do this, let's take off. Or do you say, slow down, slow your roll, buddy, slow your roll now. I like you, I want you to be around. But I ain't ready to blast off right now. I like my feet on the ground for now. So what do you do? What do you do, people? What do you say? Oh, what say you, Bree?
Well, you know what? I am actually going to deflect to our guest.
Ooh, come on.
And then
you know
I
what?
Will give you my freestyle.
That, you go with that eight on the hole. There you go with that eight card. Go ahead.
Not only that, when you was coming out talking about those mans and the cave thing, she wasn't going for that. She just deferred to the man. I really want her to hear what she has to say so bad. I just do, man. Nothing against you, Twan. I love you, brother, for real. Happy Father's Day and everything to you again. But Bree, baby, Bree. We need some estrogen in the building on this one.
But you know what? I'm going to pull out my trump card.
I'm going to watch your hand when you play poker.
Already card
right.
In the sense that.
You keep throwing out twice. Go ahead, Swan. Do your thing.
I'm going to watch. I'm going to watch Bree's hand when you play poker. I got it, cause you know I know you got that ace up your hand, up your sleeve.
She ran away, y'all. Woo!
Yeah.
I'm scored. Oh, Jesus.
That's good.
Come on, Twan.
Yeah, well,
let's go.
Basically, what you want to know? You want to know the truth? You want to know the truth about it? This is the real deal, right? This is the real deal. We talking about the Jenny joint, right?
Yeah.
I'm talking about what?
Johnny ready to take this all the way. He done seen us. He feeling us all kind of ways. Jenny likes him too, but Jenny ain't ready to blast off yet.
That's right. So, Jenny better catch up with Johnny. If Johnny is surprised, you know what I mean? It depends on the value of what the Jenny and Johnny are going for. The moon might not be a bad place. You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
You know, it depends. If Jenny really wants Johnny, Jenny going to have to let Johnny know. And Johnny can let Jenny know, but Johnny got a place to go.
Yeah, come on, brother. Come on. Say that again. That kind of rhyme. Johnny got to do what?
Johnny got a place to go. And Jenny better know.
Yeah, I got to let Jenny know that Johnny got a place to go. Man, that's
so
nice.
Absolutely.
I'm
loving
that.
And, you know, Jenny better hold on. You know, the moon ain't a bad flight. You know what I'm saying? You better hold on to Johnny. Because Johnny got a lot going on. Why do you think Jenny got that eye on that brother? The eye of the eagle. Jenny know.
The eye of the eagle. I thought it was the tiger.
Or around the two.
The eagle fly on Friday, Saturday when I go out to play.
Oh, really? Boy.
And play.
Johnny got Jenny's eyes on Johnny. Make me want a ham hock and some collard greens. But Johnny,
let me tell you something. Hey, come on now.
Johnny's doing something for Jenny to have that eye on him. So, you know, I don't know. You know, that's kind of, you know, but I think that they need to, like, you know, maybe they can meet in between the moon and this planet. You know what I'm saying? Maybe they can meet halfway and figure out, you know, how to make it work so that we can have a whole bunch of Jenny Johnnies if that's what they want to do. But that's the answer to that one.
Well, thank you, Brother Twan, for that dissertation on...
He saved you. I'm gonna make sure I put a new deck in that game.
You can't keep passing.
Okay.
Well, I know you can.
Yeah.
You probably could. You probably bring another call on or something. Come back, brother, come back.
This is where you belong. That's like the call,
yeah,
friend.
Boy.
Keep calling.
I'm gonna stop giving you calls.
Here's what I have to say on this subject. Johnny and Jenny. There's nothing wrong with what Johnny is trying to do. Because here's the thing. There are a lot of Jennies in the world that complain that there aren't enough Johnnies. There aren't enough Johnnies that want to step up to the plate and treat them like the queen that they are, treat them with respect and PCA. What is PCA, Mark?
Oh, boy, passion, care, and attention.
That's right. So, but here's what I say, and, you know, here's another milestone moment for the Bree Life Radio Show, that I am actually agreeing with something that Mark said earlier. And that is that we all... Wait a minute. I got a sound bite for that.
All your toys from you. You cannot have any more toys.
No, really. I agree with something Mark said earlier, and that is that we're not always on the same pace with one another. We're not always in that same flow at the same moment in time. But here's what I always say is that you have to find a flow that works for the both of you so that your tides can come in together. And I don't think that there's anything, I think that it's in their best interest that Jenny is honest and clear on what it is that she wants. Because sometimes when a cooler head doesn't prevail, what winds up happening? You crash and burn.
Oh, boy. Okay. I'm feeling like, well, what if he on some babyface stuff? Remember that song, Soon As I Get Home From Work? Remember that?
Yeah.
Remember that?
Baby face,
put it down. You don't want old.
Baby face. Yeah.
Especially he shaved, too.
You said
what?
Yeah,
he was clean shaved baby face.
Yeah.
Okay.
He said, good luck, good. I'll cook your dinner too. As soon as I get home from work, I'll pay your rent.
Butter your bread and pop your corn. Butter your bread and pop your corn.
You see what I'm saying? For real. That's what he said. He said, I'll never lie. You know, for all it's worth. I give good love.
Uh-huh.
Jenny, come on now, Jenny.
Jenny feels that she wants to pump the brakes a little bit because she doesn't want to crash and burn. Maybe because she's had a lot of crash and burn situations in the past, and she knows what crashing and burning looks like.
But how long? Oh. He's gonna wait to pay the rent. He don't want to pay the rent now. Yeah, you better take that money while you get it.
I'll have a fire extinguisher or something.
Better hurry up, because we hear you over there cuddling. But you know what? This is what I want to say along with what you just said, sister. And I think, you know, we're making jokes and laughing and everything, but here's the thing. Going at a pace that's a different pace than somebody else, even when you like them, see, because liking is one thing. But the reality is this. If Twan is over here and you got Jenny and Twan. Now we gonna take Johnny out of this. You got Twan. No. You really feeling Jenny, but and Jenny respects you. Or better yet, you know what? Let's flip the script. Twan, you like Jenny, but Jenny ready to marry you. And you like her, and you're not adverse to marriage, but you like, well, boo, really? Okay, but for real, I just really, it ain't no certain time for marriage. You get married when you're ready. You're like, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Hey, Jenny better be good and plenty.
Wait a minute. Remember, Twan, Jenny is, I mean, from a physical standpoint, from a sweetheart, she's all of that. But you ain't there right now.
And you ain't lying. I hear you. That would be true. You got the script. You got the script. Break it down, brother. It's good. It's going good. We might be able to write this up and sell this. No, brother. I can see this story now.
I'm just saying, though. What do you do? I mean, because that's a real interesting place to be, because it's like, I don't want to walk away from this thing because it's a real good thing. But right now, between my job, between other situations, between I just came off the heels of some other thing, but she's saying, look, brother, tomorrow ain't promised. So why are you sitting up here telling me about all this stuff that didn't work or wasn't this or this and that and the other? The bottom line is, this might not even be an issue to talk about because tomorrow, hey, ain't promised to you. And my argument is just the opposite, though, Twan. My argument is that you're right, sister. Tomorrow ain't promised. So why don't we just wait till tomorrow then? Because guess
what?
Tomorrow takes care of itself.
One of the things Mark, I love about free life is really the main bottom line of free life is communication. And that's the key to that one. They're going to have to talk. They're going to have to let each other know the real deal.
That's exactly what I was saying, that, you know, Jenny might have cause to want to just, you know, not throw caution to the wind, but to be a little cautious and say, okay, we need to reflect a little bit. But there's nothing wrong with the baby face concept, because I think there's not enough of that in the world. I applaud men that can actually exercise that without it really being a chore. You know, men that do that need to be appreciated and celebrated. They really do. That's my freestyle.
Well, I mean, you know, I think this is really, to me, this is really not even about that as much as it is about the fact that, because talking is cool to do that, do the talking, but it doesn't take away from the fact that sometimes you just ain't at the same place. Even after you talk, you still ain't at the same place. You still like her, but in your head, you've got a clock. And you know what? This goes way back to the Bree Life Show. We used to talk about the 90-day thing. Remember, but actually, I'm talking about the 90-day thing in a different context. I'm talking about the 90-day thing being something about time, meaning you have a space where you want to see or expect to see or hope to see certain things take place. Well, this brother has a certain timetable in his head, too, and he wants to see something happen within a certain period of time, which is outside or inside the time that you want to see it in.
Well, from what I understand, which from what you're saying, is that he's not even trying to exercise 90 minutes, let alone 90 days.
Well, no, I'm not even saying that. I'm saying he may be more on some like 14 days. You know what I'm saying? He might be showing some restraint, but he just wants to see something happen a little faster than it's happening. And y'all talked about it, and he respects that. It's not that he don't respect it. It's just like he's trying to say, but baby, you just don't know what's burning in me.
Well, Jenny better go fishing and put a hook on that dog and put something on that hook. You know, that's what Johnny really needs. He needs something to know that, you know, there's something more than that. You know what I mean? I mean, it could be that. You know, some people.
And I agree with the whole concept of communication, but communicating is basically about laying down where you are and being clear about that. But just because you're clear to me, I'm happy with what you say. Now I know what you're saying. I got it. Fantastic. Still don't change how I feel.
Mm-hmm.
So now what I'm going to try to do is I might try to conform myself to where you are, but I ain't feeling that.
Okay. Well, you know what? We're going to answer that question when we come back. And when we come back, we are going to be joined by a very strong sister friend of mine, Red, and my brother in Virginia Beach, Alex. So, everyone, please stay tuned.
If you didn't tune into the Bree Life Radio Show on Wednesday, this is what you missed.
Hey, Mars, check it out, Mars. If they give it up too easy sometimes, I mean, if vagina was a stock, it would plummet. It would plummet.
Mm.
Because you give it away too easy.
You hear that, ladies? There is a brother on the line that's saying that the ladies are giving it up too easy.
And this?
We want a lot more than sex, too. We want to be loved. We want to be respected. Mm-hmm. We want a whole lot of... That will make the sexual experience that much more enhanced.
We can't forget about this.
Tony, you heard that. Do you know she's taking the easy way out of this one? You know what I'm saying, Tony. Come on, Bree.
Wow. No, listen. I say you have to be honest. You have to be honest with your partner of what the deal breakers are.
It's real talk about real life. Inhale and breathe light.
No, we breathing light. We ain't breathing heavy now.
Right.
It's the Bree Life Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio. Catch us at blogtalkradio.com/Bree Life.
What you live in life. Welcome to the Bree Life. How we live in life.
Hey.
That's right. We're inhaling and breathing light, and it's Freestyle Thursday, and I'm joined with my co-host in Houston, Texas, Mark, and one of my loyal guest panelists, Twan, in Places Unknown. What's up, brothers?
Hey.
What's up? What's good?
And now... since you want to infuse some estrogen into this conversation, we're about to We're about to turn the heat up because it's about to get what? Red hot.
Yeah, we got to get her own music. We got to get her own
yeah,
music.
Yeah, we got to get her own music. Red.
I'm going to have some music for her next time.
Thank you,
Ah, yeah. Oh, yeah, don't worry. I got some for her. Yes, indeed. We're going to get some music for her. Yes, indeed.
Hello, everybody.
Bob puts the red hot.
And we're also going to bring my brother in Virginia Beach on the line. We're going to bring Alex on the line because we haven't heard from Alex in quite some time. Alex!
What up? What's going down?
What up?
Well, I know why we ain't heard from Alex because Alex been at all them film festivals and he's doing all kind of film stuff. I've been checking you out, brother. I've been checking you out.
Yeah, I've been trying to stay busy. You know, I'm going to talk to my man Mark and my boy Twan. I ain't thinking about Red and Bree right now. I ain't thinking about them
right now. Happy Father's Day, Alex. Don't do that now.
Thank you, brother. Thank you.
Straight up.
Oh, yes, yeah.
Happy Father's Day, brother.
Father's Day.
And
just,
I know we know.
Just to say, you know, I'm really excited because I'm about to see my brother in 24 hours. We're going to be clinging glasses about this time tomorrow.
Yeah, dig that. That's why I'm getting ready
dig
for my
that.
Trip. I can't stay all long. I'm getting ready for my trip. But I did want to call and infuse some stuff into the conversation.
Okay,
so infuse, but ladies first. Ray,
okay, go ahead, Ray.
You've been listening.
It's called
uh-huh.
Red
Hot. Johnny and Johnny, right?
Yeah, I heard a little bit of what was going on. I'm still not clear who you're talking about. Johnny, Jenny, somebody or another?
Okay, here's the deal.
Okay.
Jenny and Johnny met, and they are quite enamored with one another. But Johnny wants to go to the moon and the stars today. And Jenny would like to observe the moon from planet Earth just a little while longer.
But Johnny got an erection. That's why.
Oh, shit.
He got time for that mess.
He playing football.
Here we go.
Okay, so these are two incompatible people, obviously. They're incompatible.
These are two very compatible people that are vibing with one another.
Yeah, but they're not on the same page. So they might
exactly.
be vibing, but they're not on the same page. And until Jenny gets on the page with Johnny or Johnny gets on the page with Jenny, then that's not going to go anywhere that either of them want it to go. Because he's not willing to wait and she's not willing to speed up. So I don't see any pluses in that situation at all, unless one of them decides to change their mind. How many men do you know is going to be sitting next to a woman whose warm body is all curvilicious and won't wait? How many? Not many. Not many. There's not many out
Uh-oh.
There who have seen to
Uh-oh.
Wait.
What happened? I have no idea. There's a bad connection somewhere.
Yes, there's a lot of static.
Some
what do you hear? Static?
Yeah. Okay, well, I don't know if it was me, Mark, Twan, somebody. It sounds better now, though.
It's going
okay.
now. Okay.
It's going now.
Yeah, so... Like I was saying, I don't know too many men who are willing to wait when their woman is giving them all of this kind of fever. And he wants her, and he now needs to wait to have her. There's not a lot of men who are patient enough to do that. So.
Mm-hmm.
But then on the other hand, there's a lot of women out there who might meet Johnny's needs.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, he may decide to take that route.
That's it.
But it's the real thing that's going on.
Well,
I mean,
you know what I wonder? This is what I wonder, y'all. And let me just throw this out. You know, even if Johnny wants to go fast, you know, I'm the kind of person, I'll play the devil's advocate, or I'll go along. Not even play the devil's advocate. I'll go along with this. I say, you know what, Johnny? What you want to do, baby? What is it you want? I mean, so what is it that you ain't getting right now from me? What is it? Because, see, a lot of times people, they want to do things. You need to find out where the motivation is coming from. Because just because they're doing things and they want to, you know, get with you, what's the motivation? I mean, we're with each other. We're in the space. What are you talking about, brother? We just met each other 5 days ago. You're here with me. There's no doubt about it. This magnetism is undeniable. But what are we trying to, I mean, so if we did whatever you wanted right now, what would really change? You still got me in your face. We're still sharing time. We're still doing what we're doing. So where are we running to? And that would be something that I would put down to somebody, not because I don't want to get one, but I'm trying to figure out right now, we're spending time with each other. We spend a lot of, we're in each other's face. Is it because if it's a sexual thing, then maybe that's what we need to talk about. Is it sex we talk about? What is it that you wanted to do faster? And that's what you, and I think if you put that down to a brother or a sister that's pushing these things, then you might get some clarity on what's really going on. Because sometimes people got some kind of motivation that's really outside of something that even makes sense to you when you start pushing. Like, what are you trying to do, lock you up and put you in a closet somewhere now? I mean, what's the point? What are we running
for? And what was both their situations prior to this? Were they both by themselves for a while, or have they both been lonely? Has he been lonely for a long time? I mean, sometimes that makes people force the issue a little bit. Pure loneliness, that's a mother right there.
Yeah, but you know what? Jumping right into something, you know what? Loneliness, because you know something is. This is something that maybe all of us have been in this situation where, you know, we were lonely, but now that we're spending time with somebody, we start realizing how much we kind of valued our time alone.
Mm-hmm.
You did? See, and some people, especially at our age, in our 40s or whatever, you know, if you've been alone for even 2 years, as much as you want to be with somebody, you got to realize that you develop a lot of things that you do on your own, a lot of solitary type of things that you do. That,
and that's right.
Yeah.
He's right. Mark, if you ask Stoney will tell you, my husband loved his alone time because we do a lot of family stuff. But I also love to spend time by myself, get into my own thought process, my own thinking. I like to do things by myself.
Mm-hmm. Well, I love me some me. So I don't have to be engaged all the time. My kids say that all the time. Why are you always by yourself? Because I love me. I don't mind being. Now, when I was younger, I had a problem with that because I didn't understand who I was and I didn't know what I wanted, and I felt like I always had to have people around me in order for me to be interesting until I got to know myself, and then I started thinking, you know what, you're cool. Chick, please.
Mm-hmm.
You all right? You can sit and watch a movie, laugh by yourself, write some stuff, create some characters, do your own thing, you know, do the girly thing, do your nails and toes, take a bubble bath and put on some jazz. And just do you, because
you
need to be whole before you meet somebody to do anything with them.
And Red, you're right. And you, all those things are correct. And as long as you have a fresh pack of batteries, you good with that too, ain't you?
You know what? I am so.
Wow. You know what?
Well, I'm gonna tell you right now.
I'm a brother.
You know we knew that's gonna come some call. I love it.
I'm a brother against batteries.
I don't like batteries.
Oh, you want to plug? You want to plug in?
In my own sense of self.
DAB, baby. DAB.
Anything. That you're taking to nasty man to be shaming yourself. Where's your wife? You to be shaming yourself.
Wow.
Don't encourage me. He has lost his mind.
Happy Father's Day.
Yeah.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
Did that.
Yeah, I'm a happy.
Oh, yeah. God. Hit that button.
You know,
yeah.
Hey, she got too many toys. I told you, I'm stopped. No more toys.
Yeah.
Okay, you know what? That's enough for me.
Oh, hell no.
See, you know what? You know how it is. I get no kids. They will bring you in there in the living room trying to talk, and your son is pulling his damn pocket trunk right in the middle of everybody. He's dumping all kind of stuff in the floor. Don't give your kids them kind of toys if you don't think they're going to play with them.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what you're talking about. I have no idea what it is that Alex thinks he is doing, but he is visioning his own mind, creating things in his own little world. I really need to speak to Stoney because you need to be reined in, my brother. You really
I don't,
need
I don't,
to
I don't know. And
he's completely off the hook.
Like, really. Unbelievable. You get on the phone just so you can irritate people. I'm talking about.
All right. I'm sorry about the batteries. Get a plug in.
No, you're not. Stop it.
Oh, the use in the water, right?
Better be glad they're not nuclear.
Oh, my
God.
I'm not
going to
hold on to radioactive now.
Hey, Bree.
A constant
Can I want to change gears for a second because I want to direct something at my man Mark here. It's something that could be pretty thought provoking, and Mark is one of them deep thinkers, and he has a lot of opinions.
I'm going to go get my cognac first.
Are you ready, Mark?
All right. I got to go get my cognac. Wait a minute. All right.
I got to upgrade.
I got to get the yak out
of this one.
Anyway.
This is a question, something I put on Facebook today, and was really bothering me, and it just came to me. And I give me 30 seconds to read what I posted. I posted, the U.S. Census of 2012 states that there are approximately 313 million people in the country. Now take that number and exclude the children. So we're closer to 200 million at that point. Now take that number and exclude our most financially affluent, and we're probably closer to 185 million. Now take that number and exclude those earning six-figure salaries, maybe perhaps 500,000 and up. And the number's probably now closer to 150 million in population in the U.S. Now here's the deal. If several of our multimillionaires got together with a few of our billionaires and put together a fund of $150 million, then gave $1 million to struggling families, wouldn't that be a huge shot in the arm to our country's economy? Wouldn't people buy homes or pay their homes off, buy automobiles, look for investments, buy clothing, fill their refrigerators with food, et cetera, et cetera? Wouldn't the economy prosper and put folks back to work? Wouldn't it save small business and encourage people to start a small business? I don't know. Maybe I'm talking crazy. Maybe my imagination is running amok again. But this would never happen because of two reasons. One, it is entirely too simple. And two, they are just too selfish. What is your comments, Mark?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, see, it's always easy for someone to suggest what someone else should do with their money. You know what I'm saying? And some of those people would say, well, you know, I'm doing what I'm doing already. I have my philanthropic pursuits. I'm already, like, if you talk to like a Gates or a Buffett, they'll tell you, or even Oprah, they're out there doing what they're doing stuff. The question is, what does it really take to get our economy and thus our people out of their economic malaise? Anyway, what really is it going to take? Because one thing we do know is this. Companies make their money by virtue of being able to have certain types of wages and so forth. So I always tell people this. The moment that I change my wage scale as an employer, then one of two things are going to happen. Either A, I'm going to cut back on my workforce, or I'm going to increase the price of goods. Okay, so... And one thing we talk about is when you throw more money into the economy, you actually devalue the dollar. So now, you start spreading your money around, you can. But what can that person or that family do to sustain their situation? I used to work in a program with kids, and we used to give, when I say give them, we had a temporary housing program. And what we would do is we'll set up kids in housing. But one of the big issues would always come and say, but wait a minute, do they have the skill to maintain this domicile past the time that we're going to continue to contribute? Because there's going to be a place where we would stop contributing, and once we stop contributing, would they be able to sustain this? And in many cases, the answer was no, and they would shortly, maybe if they had, if they were in an apartment, let's say, for instance, for a year or 2 years. After that, it's the weirdest thing. Sometimes they lose their jobs, various other things happen, but now they're back in that same place. So unless you try to come up with some concept of continuous assistance, a lot of people that you help out, if they never learned how to do the things, because remember, some of the problems that we have financially are problems we created. Okay, let's get something straight. All of us, meaning we have some financial problems that we didn't learn, and all you got to do is look at folks that win the lottery or get lump sums of endowments or inheritances, and how within several years after those inheritances, endowments, or winnings, they're back where they were because their habits are still their habits. So if you don't change the way a man thinks and processes, he'll be in it. So what you have to do is determine how much of my poverty is based upon my inability to do what I need to do before
right.
I start giving you anything.
Yeah, and let me say this. You know that if you give the average person, struggling person, $1 million, they're going to go out here and kill themselves. You know, they need to be with a certified financial planner or be trained in some kind of business to know what to do properly with that money. I guess the main question is, how do we recover if we were the victims or the average working person were victims of Wall Street and the banks and so forth and so on? They have to take some accountability because they were complicit in what happened. It's not like people just started losing their houses out the blue because they were too lazy to pay their mortgage. They were victims of a system that decided
okay.
to rob, cheat, steal, and do these different kind of things. So
I got a question for you.
Okay, go ahead, Alex.
Now, here's the only thing about it, and I just wonder, and this is just me, because I got a lot of friends that were in real estate that made
mm-hmm.
money, meaning realtors that made money, and actually loan officers that made money during that crazy time. And this is what was happening. What I want to know is when a man comes to me, and I know how much I make already financially, and they're telling me I can get in a, I don't know, a $400,000, $500,000 home, and I know I make $25,000 a year, and I'm getting that kind of home, but they're getting it to me at a certain price or a certain or whatever. And they give me a certain all of these certain types of things, and I'm not smart enough to know, wait a minute, how are they getting me into this home? I'm not asking no questions. I'm just cool. Hey, Alex, my realtor, and Riz, my loan officer, I don't care. Whatever y'all say I can do whatever. I ain't going to worry about it. So wait a minute. Let's get some straight. People were getting into homes upside down because they were not reading. They did not educate themselves. They wanted a home. Somebody said they could have it. Fine. And that's real. And I know it because
yeah.
I remember too many situations. So a lot of these people that are upside down in their homes, they were doing these, getting these homes with balloon payments. Who the hell in their right mind would do that anyway? You why would you get an adjustable rate mortgage? Meaning, again, you don't know the language, so therefore you don't know what you're getting into. You got an adjustable rate mortgage that's going to go from the small percentage that you think you're paying right now, and then within maybe a couple of years, 5 years maybe, it's going to boom. It's going to go ahead.
Basically, what everybody's really saying is that a lot of people actually got into this housing thing and this housing boom don't understand money or the money mechanics of money and how this country is. Define money. Let me tell you this. The dollar is nothing but a debt instrument. Most of the debt belongs to the government. People really don't understand what's going on. If you show me a diamond, I'm going to pull out my money or I'm going to pull out some kind of trade to get that diamond. I don't have any gold or silver, so I'm going to give you what I got. Basically, people don't understand money. They don't understand these markets. They don't understand the European relationship. They don't understand the Federal Reserve Banks. They don't understand the history of the Federal Reserve Bank.
Right.
There's a lot going on that people don't understand.
Yep.
Get caught up in this American dream, and these
yep.
people, these people who you don't see, the ones who understand this system, the ones who understand our birth certificates, our everything that goes with this system, you know, they have profited. But you see gold on them, but you don't see gold on you. And the real
mm-hmm.
reality is right now, the only real property, that's right, real estate is real property. That is of value. The inflation that happened in the bank issue, the deception, the extortion, is still going on. It's camouflaged. It's still going on.
And that's why we're suffering today. I think the real answer to me, and it's kind of, I'm a little sci-fi on everybody because it made sense to me. We need to get to the point where we don't need money. That everything we do is for the betterment or the existence of our lives. And we get everything we want. We
a barter system.
Far from it, but that would be the answer.
That's never going to happen. That will never happen. It will never happen.
Well, what I'd like to say is that I agree with Twan, and I've said this on other shows, especially shows that we talked about what it means to be black in America. If you don't educate yourself, and it goes to, it's synonymous with what Mark just said also, how can you just get in a situation where you're paying a mortgage on an arm and you don't read the fine print? You have no idea that in 3 to 5 years you're going to be paying five times what you start now paying just to be what is considered a homeowner. And that's a very deceptive title because you don't actually own your home until you make that last mortgage payment. That's when you become a homeowner.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know?
But just going back to exactly what we were talking about when we had the conversation about see who's in front of you before they get under you. When we were talking, this is about relationships, whether it's a relationship with money or another human being. It's about being honest. The reality is this. You don't want to know a lot of times. You just want to be in that house. You don't want to know a lot about the dude. You just want to have somebody hold you in their arms. And that's what happens to a lot of people. We don't want to know about a lot of stuff. We don't want to know. We just want to be able to get into our relationship and our house, and even in jobs sometimes. We don't want to know. They're offering a job, take it.
Oh, I got a good point for you right there, though. And I'm going to make it when we come back. We're going to take a commercial break, and when we come back, I'm going to address that very issue.
It is important for you to get your healthy dose of the Breathe Life Radio Show, because when you miss the Breathe Life Radio Show, you miss moments like this.
And of course, there's those are there that get mad for holding matrimony. They got mad for holding matrimony.
And this?
The reason why a certain group of women attract themselves to internet dating is so that they can lie, and lie.
We can't forget about this.
I had a stalker. I had to get an order of protection. You got a woman that you've been with for 7 years, so you doing something right.
Come on, breathe. Don't stop it.
It's real talk about real life. Inhale and breathe light.
So let's take that deep breath in because we're about to go in.
It's the Breathe Life Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio. Catch us at blogtalkradio.com/breathe life.
And we're back, and it's Thursday, and what are we doing? We freestyle. And I'm joined tonight with my co-host, Mark, in Houston, Texas. And on the line, our most distinguished guest panelists, we have Red from Harlem, USA.
Uptown,
Alex,
baby.
From Virginia Beach. We have Brother Twan from Places Unknown. And we're freestyling. And I just want to touch on the issue or the point that Mark was making. A lot of times we don't want to know. Well, what we had began our freestyle with tonight with the whole concept of Jenny and Johnny.
Mm-hmm.
Oftentimes, you know, when we want to know, when we get to the point where we have been through some stuff because we didn't want to know. And now that we know what could possibly happen by not knowing, now we want to read the fine print. We want to take our time. I'm sorry?
I said sometimes, you know what, Bree, though?
this brings us to a whole other conversation. That is, how much do you really do you really know? Come on, let's be honest. A lot of times you know, meaning when I say know, I'm talking about instinctively, intuitively. Maybe you don't have all the stuff written, but you know when you ain't feeling right. You know when you ain't feeling right.
Listen to your inner voice.
Well, you know what?
You know when you ain't feeling right.
And you know what, though? But Twan made a great point. We have instincts. We have an internal, you know, guidance system that tells us when we're going down the wrong street, don't go down that street, don't do this or don't do that. But when you're dealing with a system, you know, like Twan made a statement that money's a dead instrument. He's absolutely right. Look on your money right now. You'll see it says Federal Reserve Note. It is just a note. It is an idea.
Well, guess what, Sid? If we want to take it even further, real estate is not real estate. The real estate is owned by the government. It's owned, you don't own. You might own that piece of that piece of manufactured wood and stone, but if they do eminent domain or various other types of instruments they can use, you don't own no property either.
Exactly, because eminent domain means that they can at any point, if they have a concept or an idea that they want to run through your property, the government can take, the government or local or state organizations can come through, municipalities can come through your property and take over eminent domain.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, when you start talking about real estate, yeah, what is the real estate? You know, the estate is the government. The government is the estate. That is the estate.
It's real property. It's real property.
And it's real that they could come and do what the hell they want when they want.
That eminent domain can kick in, but if you have the allodial title, it's harder for them to mess with you. You need the allodial title.
Here's what you're saying. This you just said. It's harder. You didn't say
impossible. I didn't say it was impossible. There are ways of doing it. But once you obtain your allodial title, they really got to – they're in trouble, because if they mess with you, then they got to own you up.
This is what people have to understand. There's ways to do it. There's ways that people – even from the tax base. My point is this. You're right. We should, you know, do what we need to do to get the knowledge that we need to get to do – and understand what we need to do. But this is what I want to ask, because you know, Bree usually jumps on me on this on Freestyle Thursday when we get too deep. And now,
wait.
Too heavy. She always jumps on me. We get too heavy and too. Remember, you said this supposed to be free. We need more, because she always wants more sound bites for our commercials. And
don't make it seem like I'm just taking advantage of
folks
for their sound bite now. Come on.
Sister Bree,
cut it out.
Sister Bree, be like, we be getting too, you know, Mark, it's just, we can't be getting so heavy.
Yeah, we got to be fluffy sometimes.
Hey, this is my freestyle, though. This is freestyle. This is my freestyle.
But see, we didn't say there was
anything wrong with you.
I know you got that was a good one, Alex, and we appreciate you for that one. I love that, but you gotta give us a come on, man. Give us an Alex. Come on now.
That's right. We need now. You know what? I am gonna say we need a damn soundbite.
The beret and the fist and stuff on me, man. Come on, man. Don't do that. Don't be getting the combat boots out. Come marching and stuff. Come on now.
I just tried to help you. I told Red to get the batteries and get a plug in.
No, your freestyle cannot be about what you think it is that I'm doing when I say I don't want to be by myself.
Let it go. Wait a minute. I gotta stop y'all both for 1 second, and I just want to do this real quick.
Fire.
Yeah. I just want to do that. I just had to do that. Because I heard fire come out.
You stopping it, Red?
Yeah, stop. I'm trying not to get on you because it's Father's Day weekend,
women or whatever. I'm trying to not.
Whatever.
You can't get on me because I'm married.
You're always picking on me. Stop picking on me. Stop it.
Now, would I do a thing like that?
Yes, you would. Yes, you
now,
would.
Now, Priya, am I that type of guy?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Don't give me the lion.
Check this out, y'all. I was reading something today, and it's this book that's out, and I kind of, man, I swear we got to do another one of these shows. We're going to come up with another kind of panel. We can do a woman's panel for this one, Bree. But I'm going to do another monogamy open relationship show because, you know what, it was this book that came out late last year by this author. His name is Eric Anderson, and it's called The Monogamy Gap, Men, Love, and the Reality of Cheating. You know what he was saying? And he was just talking about something about kind of piggybacking on what I have been saying, that we weren't created for monogamy. But not only that, he took it to a whole other level. He said men in general have a hard time with monogamy. And what he pointed to, he actually pointed to the gay population, which really gave more insight to men in this aspect. He said, if you notice, if you look at lesbians versus homosexual men have been known to have many, many men partners, where lesbian women don't. Conversely, in monogamous heterosexual relationships, men have a tendency to go outside the relationship more than women do. So it's not just the dynamic of the type of relationship, but it's a man thing when it comes to having to seek out more than one mate. What do you think about that?
What do you mean? What do we think about that, brother? Did we not just, why do we keep beating the dead horse? We already decided that men like all of this huge array of choices that they have when it comes to being able to pick whatever mate, whenever they want her, however they want her, and her and her and her and her and her. We've already decided and established that. So now we're going to go and redissect the already answered question. Y'all
right. know. No. I guess the issue for me is that why do we continue to try to pursue forms that are contrary to how our nature is, which is to seek out consistently? Because
here's the problem. Men are the ones who are straying, and women are the ones who are staying, and that's the imbalance. That's what's causing the discourse.
Monogamy is learned, y'all. What I'm saying is that it's not natural. It is not a natural thing. It's like we have to say, I'm not going to do it in order not to do it. It's not to do that.
In nature, I want to look at all the mammals because we're mammals. If you look at the mammals, have a whole array of choices. If you get a lion, he's got three or four lioness. They got a kid. He's got his territory. You look at the monkeys. They're mammals and shave the hair, you know, but they're mammals and they have three or four female baboons or whatever. You look at the whale. The whale is in the water. Whoever come by, that whale going to give him a shot of what he got. So in all actuality, warm-blooded creatures are known for the male to have more than one female for reproduction.
Here's what I think Mark is really saying that he hasn't articulated yet. What he wants to really understand is why women won't conform to the ideology that men are innately non-monogamous creatures. Why do women have the false perception that we can be with a man when innately, or be with a man in a monogamous relationship when innately he is not built to be monogamous?
Well, okay, she is kind of right on that, what I'm trying to say, because actually the word monogamy, which we use for sexuality usually only, but there are other forms of monogamy that have nothing to do with sexuality. And if women and men understood the fact that a person can be emotionally monogamous,
with a person without being sexually exclusive. So you don't have to accept that. But my point is, I think that if monogamy is taught, and we know that it is, it's too, because there's only one, like, very few creatures. I think they say only one creature, the goose, is truly monogamous. So you got serial monogamy, you got emotional monogamy, and you actually have sexual monogamy. But the point is, they're all taught. You have to be taught this. So if you grew up in a culture that, so now what happens is, you're teaching me something that's against how my yearnings are. And then you tell me that I'm not good if I break this, or something wrong with me if I don't, or I'm a dog, or I'm a predator, or I'm a this, or I'm a that, when I don't conform to something that's not even part of my natural inclination. And then you tell me it's better for me. And I think that's crazy as hell. That's why I say, the reason I say I think that's crazy is because when we look at the numbers of broken relationships over that one issue of sexual exclusivity, meaning he could have been a good father, a good provider, good everywhere else, but he went outside the relationship because for whatever reason he wanted something else. But he still loved his wife, but his wife said, you cannot love me if you went out and did what you did. It's not possible. Actually, that's not true. I can love you, but I can love you, but I do some other things. Now, to get women and men on the same page to even understand what that's about, I think that's where we're moving toward any damn way. Because these other forms of strictly being here, they haven't been working. And they haven't been working for a long time. And if you go back to ancient cultures, they weren't even required. So we came up with some bright idea post BC that this was something that people had to do. And
well,
it ain't been working.
Well, to me,
as far as I'm concerned.
Go ahead. No, I'm saying to me, and me and Stoney did a show about this on our extra. Monogamy is not a natural thing because you have to work too hard at it. You got to work too hard to defeat it. You got to keep it constrained. You got to do these different kind of things. If it was so natural, you wouldn't have to work as hard to control it.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. And so, actually, that's what the book is suggesting. That book that I read today, part of it, and I actually listened to the interview with this guy. He's a sociologist. He was just saying that it is just not, and the fact, and he said almost the same thing you said. He said the fact that it has to be worked at like that suggests, it's kind of like, you know, we say it's natural to pee, or it's usually just the opposite. If you're having a problem urinating, something is wrong with the system, because usually there's no problem to urinate. It's so easy to do that. That's called a natural function.
I'm a little confused, because a few minutes ago we were talking about, why is Jenny concerned about Mr. Man trying to get at her so quickly? And now we're talking about, we should be open to the fact that we are not naturally monogamous, and it should be natural for us to go at it with whomever, whenever. It should be an easy thing. Why is what you're supposed to, quote, unquote, have that's worth having come easy? If you just finished saying that, oh, no, what is his rush? Why is he trying to get at it so quickly? And then you turn it around and you're saying, but it's too hard for him to be monogamous, and it's too hard for him not to work at something that he is not natural, or it's not natural for him to come at. So it makes it very confusing for whoever the listener is who's standing on the fence trying to figure out whether or not he should be monogamous to his mate, or whether he should be running around with a bunch of different women.
After you say that, I want to address that. What she
did. You know what? And we're talking about the natural things we were born with. It's the same thing with the story about the scorpion and the frog. Everybody's heard that story. If you haven't, I'll be glad to tell it to you.
But why penalize the man who's trying to get at Jenny? If you're saying, oh, no, that's not right, she should question it.
But
it's natural.
But, Ray, that's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is this. I'm saying that it is not natural. However, here's the thing, and I think that people need to understand that you have seasons and times. most of the time, I am not looking at them. I'm not trying to get with more than one woman. It's not practical for me. That's why, that's one of the big issues. I'm not trying to do that. But the point is, it's not go out and do everything. It's understanding your inclinations and figure out how to work with those inclinations within whatever relationship that you choose to have more than one possibility of a relationship without having a stigma. Because what you need to understand is going outside of your relationship or having what some people call open relationships or swinging still holds a stigma in the society. So what most people, even when they have a desire to seek out something, they're not going to even do it because they don't want to look bad. Because society is not embracing, meaning, when I say embracing, I'm saying not that you agree with this, but that you don't stigmatize. So now if I come in with three women on my arm, you ain't saying, oh, look at him. It's no different than if I walk in with one woman. You feel what I'm saying? The problem is, I think cheating has a lot to do with the fact that people have a hard time having a conversation about what they really desire and what they really feel. They lie. They're not honest. So they are having honest conversations in their relationships, and then cheating does happen. Because if you have an inclination or desire to do something else, people sit up and say, hey, Ray, let's talk about it, honey. You know what? I kind of want to, I still love you. I really do love you. And my concept of what love is, any damn way, I love you. But you know what? I kind of want to do a couple things over here or there. What kind of conversation is that with something? You ain't going to have it. So you know what you do? You cheat. That ain't right. But to me, that's what motivates that, because society as a whole does not embrace choice. They say that, but as soon as you choose, then they stigmatize you for if you don't go along with the group. So it's called groupthink or big brother. Uh-oh, you can't do that. You know, as opposed to, you know what, brother? That's what we have, what I call religious intolerance. The bottom line is that I'm not Muslim, but brother, if you want to believe in Allah, I ain't trying to convert you or be mad at you because you ain't. We have a level of intolerance in our society when it comes to choices. So then I'm going to have a hard time sitting down with Red and trying to break bread with her about where I'm feeling this and that and the other, because I do really care for her. I don't want to lose her, but I'm scared to have a conversation with her.
I'm all for everyone's right to choose and whatever they decide to do with their own individual lives. I don't have any issue with that. But my point in being is that when you're talking on airwaves and there are impressionable listeners who are straddling the fences about what it is that they're trying to do with their own sexuality and their own culture and how they're supposed to be with the way they were raised and basing that on how their friends are doing it and all this other stuff. And then they get on and they hear conversations about how there are monogamous relationships out there that shouldn't be because it's unnatural.
You know, if they heard that, they weren't listening. We didn't say it shouldn't be. Anybody said it shouldn't be.
I'm not saying that you said that, but I'm saying the way he's coming across is that we are trying to promote a situation that can't be promoted. It just can't, because everyone's situation is different. So in order for us to really take a stand at the end of the day, whoever decides to be monogamous or not monogamous based on how they were raised, where they see their future going, is based on that particular individual at that time in their life. I am not for a society of free-willing, sex-addicts, running all over the place, having sex with everything.
Big happy.
Hold on. That is not me. However, the person standing next to me may decide that that's what they want. I'm not going to judge that person, but I'm saying that that is not something that I choose to have. So I don't
but
want to.
But you didn't just say, Liz, you said something about I'm not for a society. You didn't just say I'm not for myself. You said you're not for a society of free will having sex with. Okay, but here's the problem. That you can't, on the one hand, you say, I'm not for society like that. But then on the other hand, you say, you're for everybody doing what they want to do. Well, you can't have both.
Okay, I can have a choice. My choice is to live my life the way I choose to live it, but I'm not going to judge you for living yours. There's nothing wrong with that. What are you saying?
No, you said a society, remember, you live within a society. Now, on the one hand, you said you don't want to live in a society where people can freely go have sex with who they want to have, whatever. You don't want to live in that society. But at the same time, you're saying you're not going to be against somebody that is doing that.
So wait
because
a minute, I'm in your society.
I can't live in all parts of the world. There are parts of the world that do have open relationships and
you live in the part of the world where people are doing that now, but now they just feel shunned. But they're still doing it. So what we've done is we've driven it underground.
I'd just like to make a point. That is their choice. I'm not going to judge them for their choice. I'm saying I don't want that for me.
You said a couple things. You talked about society. You talked about conversations and impressionable people listening. So here's my thing I'm saying.
I want to hear what Juan has to say.
What did you say?
I want to hear what Juan has to say. Well, what I wanted to say was this. The majority of us have grown up in a Christian, Western type of philosophy on you should have one man, one woman, that kind of thing. And to me, that's like almost a population control. So any kind of conversation we have could be that. You know, when we were free roaming people having what we wanted. And so I think that when it comes down to it, there are a lot of emotions that have been created from this religious perspective of just having one woman to one man. And I think that we should, I think that's one of the reasons why it is like that. I think psychologically they have us so that we don't overpopulate this planet. I mean, can you imagine if men could go anywhere they want and have sex with the responsibility for the offspring and how do you actually, you know, cultivate that? How do you actually maintain that in society, considering our economy?
What you also are talking about is this. You're talking about the whole concept. Because, see, this is more Western than it is Christian. Because there are several places, even in Africa and even Asia, which are Christian-oriented, where they have more than one mate, or they have an openness as far as choosing more than one mate. So this is not just a Christian or a theological thing.
We are taught that you marry or you, when you actually get with one person at a time. We are taught that from children in this country.
Yeah, we're taught suppression. We talk suppression.
So,
we say suppress how you feel. That's what we say. We say suppress how you feel.
My main point is, have we ever been given a chance to even experience the freedom of having more than one woman? No. So, I mean, I can understand the inner struggle.
Well, Mormons exercise that freedom every day.
Right. What are you talking about?
There's big love going on all over the damn country.
They do it with the disdain of the greater society. That's the crazy part about me. It's not a free thing. It's shunned. Matter of fact, if you think about it, other than the fact that we might not like Romney because he's a Republican, the bottom line is the Republicans in general, we don't like him because he's a damn Mormon. You see what I'm saying? So the reality is it is still shunned to do any of that. And he goes through great pains to distance himself from polygamy.
Okay. Here's my thing, though. If he's doing that, or if society as a whole has a disdain for him because of that, then isn't there something wrong with it if the greater balance of people have a problem with it?
Okay, let me ask you a question. Let's look at the case. I like to talk about something else. And, you know, Alex talks about a little bit on his show. Let's talk about pornography. Okay, let me tell you something. If we had that big of a disdain for pornography, we wouldn't be making it a billion-dollar industry. We don't have a disdain for it. What it is that we don't want to show it. We don't want nobody. We have a problem with our sexuality. We have always had a problem with our sexuality. We had that was one of the motivations behind the quote-unquote free love movement of the late 60s. People like free love, they're like, oh, hell no, you can't be free love. But you felt free love anyway. You still was looking at naked pictures. You still was looking at another woman's booty because you wanted to do those things, but society says something's wrong, so we're not going to do them, so we feel bad about it. So our disdain is hypocritical because guess what? We talk about the people that go ahead and do the things that we think about doing. That's the problem that I have.
Let me ask a question to the panel. What is wrong with monogamy? what's wrong with exercising a choice of control and preference to be with one individual?
You can't judge monogamy. You can't judge it. There's really nothing wrong with it. And what it does, and I'll tell you, monogamy for me actually gives some security to the emotional content of feelings, of strong feelings for one individual to another. If you have, if you're in a relationship, an open relationship, and you want the attention and the feelings of one person when you want it, and they're already across town with someone else, that's just bringing more emotional pain and hurt. And I think that that's what monogamy does. Monogamy takes away some of the different emotions, jealousy, envy, pain, suffering, loneliness, communication gaps. That's what monogamous relationships are supposed to secure. Because when you're actually in an open relationship, you don't have to give anybody your attention or your emotions unless you choose to. And so now what you do when you actually get with someone in a monogamous relationship, you make a commitment to give them all of these things, all of these different emotions. And it's healthy in that aspect. But other than that, that's what I have to say. It is healthy, in my opinion, in terms of emotionally.
Yeah, and what I have to say in lieu of what Twan is saying is that it is definitely attainable. It is definitely a choice. You have to want to make that choice, but you're always fighting your innate nature to want more than one. And anybody who says that that's not so is probably telling a lie. We have an innate nature, more so men than women. That's why Mark said earlier, is more
but
so
women
men
do
than women. He brought up.
But women do too. Women do
yeah,
too.
Women do too, but it's more so men mm-hmm. than women. That's why you brought up the disparity in the gay lifestyle, with the
yeah.
men having multiples and the lesbians don't. Okay,
mm-hmm.
So it's more so men than women. But you're fighting that every day. Now, you have to have someone in your life who's worth the fight, who's worth putting out the effort to want to be monogamous, to want to be true. Because if you don't have a person that's worth putting that effort out for, you're going to go out there and sling it. Because it is a choice at the end of the day. That's basically what it is.
Red?
Okay. Well, I'm here, and I already said that I am definitely pro-monogamy. I believe in one man and one woman. That is my choice. I should be allowed to have that choice. And I'm a very open-minded person, but that doesn't mean that I'm open for a lot of other stuff coming to me that I'm unaware of. If I'm with someone and I'm telling them that I agree that we should be together as a couple, and he is telling me that he does that, he feels the same way, and then he goes around and he does something else and contrary to that, then there's a problem with that for me. You are now telling me that you have changed your mind at some point by your action, and that is a problem for me. So I don't want to be in a relationship where I don't have a choice to be a monogamous person. So, yes, I do choose monogamy as opposed to just running around and just having sex with different people. And the question that popped into my mind while you guys were talking is that I find it really strange that men are always saying that they can have all these women, but the second the woman that they truly love goes out and have another man, he's got a problem with that. He can't handle it. He don't want to accept it. He don't even want to look at her or touch her anymore because of it. Not only that, his animalistic instincts makes him then want to turn around and be volatile to go and hurt the very man who did what he thought, whatever, was conjured in his mind to his woman, because that's his woman. So if that man was born to be free-willed with his penis, then why doesn't he feel that about his woman? That's my question.
Okay. Am I? It's me or you, Bree? You have the question, so am I last or you going last, honey?
No, you go. You can go.
Okay. All right. Here's the thing. When I listen to what everybody has said, number one, I am not against anything. That's the whole point. I'm not against anything. This is not about me. Being against me. What's wrong? Because the question was, what's wrong with monogamy?
I think that's a bad question already out the gate. Wrong? Ain't nothing wrong with nothing. It's your choice. As I keep hearing, I hear a lot of people say this, but then when I've heard several people on the panel, well, one in particular talking about, but then you're running around. Okay, so first of all, it's okay, when you start using different words that stigmatize and give a negative spin on someone else's choice, you're not just talking about it's not your choice. You're actually saying it's a bad thing because you're saying running around. You're saying doing this and doing that, number one. Number two, the man feeling like he want to jump on his wife because she cheated on him is going through the same problem that the woman has when she feels upset about the fact that he does. And that's because of training. Back to what Alex was saying. We're not, if we were trained, there are societies where they're not feeling jealousy over that. It's not like, see, here's the wrong idea that's going on around here. That it's natural to feel jealous. That's some bull. Ain't no natural to feel jealous. You feel jealous because you were taught something is wrong and it shouldn't be, and you should own this, and it should be, this should be, this should be. So then when things start happening, you're reacting to what you were taught is yours. So if I was taught, you are mine, and when I hear what you are mine, and that's what I'm taught, then I'm going to react to something of mine. Similarly, I always use as an example. If I walk outside and somebody's stealing my car, getting in my car and driving away, it's a problem. Why? That's mine. I own that. So hell yeah, it's a problem because I was taught that. I don't get mad at somebody getting on the bus. You know why? Because it ain't my bus. Everybody got the freedom of being. If I was taught that my car was a car that everybody could use, then it wouldn't be bothering me. And in places where the kid from the floor up was taught that it's community and that it's no ownership, they're not going through those kind of problems. It's only in places, and especially capitalistic Western countries, that we get off into a lot of jealousy and possessiveness because of the fact that we push and promote owning this, and this is mine.
Okay.
So.
Ooh.
Oh, boy.
Well,
here's another
point that I want to put out there. Back to the Jenny and Johnny concept.
You always want to put out. That's your problem.
What?
That's a problem.
I beg your pardon. You know, if you knew me as well as you think you know me, you would know that that wasn't the issue. Okay.
She got to clarify. All right. You know what? She got to clarify that, y'all. Make sure you tell them. Tell them, Bree. Say it again.
Mark, you got a sound bite there.
She wants us to know. Tell us. She said, if you know me like you know me, like when you knew that you knew that you knew me, you know me. You know what I don't do.
Mark, you got a sound
bite
there.
As I was about to say, here's something else. What happens when, you know, because ordinarily, since we're on the concept of monogamy and it not being natural, and men innately not are they are not the contributors to wanting or having that ability to be monogamous because it's not natural, all that rhetoric.
Oh, it's a rhetoric now.
What happens when Johnny or John is pushing for the exclusivity in the relationship, but Jenny is not quite ready for it, or she's having a problem wrapping her mind around that. What I mean, it's such a strange thing, don't you think? I mean, Red, you know, you being on the line, you being a woman too, you know, it's a very odd thing when a man is the one pushing the monogamy exclusivity concept for the encounter between you and him, because that's usually something that women lobby to do. So, okay, since the brothers are outnumbering the sisters on the line, what advice would you give Jenny?
Who's the question posed to?
I'm gonna pose the question to the brothers right now. What advice would you give to Jenny in this instance?
What's the instance? You lost me.
Oh, my God. I know you lost. No. I know you lost, Alex.
My goodness. Wow. Wow.
Okay. I said, you know, Twan, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here. Okay. I'm really, really, really listening. Go ahead.
What question would you give to Jenny in this instance?
What instance? You lost all three of us.
No. Twan, did you understand the question?
You might want to repeat the question. Just repeat the question.
Exactly.
Mm.
Uh-uh. I know what it is.
Okay.
I'm
see, that's part of the problem right there.
Y'all
don't listen.
You know they have ADD.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm gonna answer. Well, let me answer. I'm one of the brothers that got it. Teacher, I got it. Can I say something?
Yeah, your hand is raised. I see it.
My hand is up. Hey, this is the deal. I will tell Jenny, because the bottom line for brothers, what she's talking about is how do we address Jenny when Johnny is the one that's saying, hey, now remember, Johnny's a guy, meaning Johnny being a man, it's been suggested that us men, obviously, have desires, maybe not so much for commitment all the time. But this brother Johnny is pushing for commitment out the gate. He's pushing. He wants her. He's talking about she the one. He ain't looking. He got blinders on. He that horse running down the road. He ain't looking but straight at her. What would we tell Jenny when she got to deal with him? Well, the only thing I would tell Jenny in dealing with him is, what does Jenny want? Is this what she wants? She got to figure out what she wants and not be afraid to walk away from something just because, you know, she might say that, hey, ain't nobody else asked me for this, and I have said I wanted this. Because remember this, y'all. A lot of times what we want is not so much just what we want, but it's timing too. So if what I want comes at a time where I'm not at a certain place, then it doesn't work either. So she's got to know, Jenny, is this the time for you? Because, yeah, people always say, well, you've been asking for it, but wait a minute. When I asked for it, I didn't get it. When I asked for it, when I wanted it today, I wanted it.
Or another dynamic is that sometimes what we want doesn't come in the package. It doesn't come in the form.
Well, but what if it doesn't then? And if it doesn't come in the form and you really believe that's the form you want it in, then you got to be true to yourself then. Why lie?
I said, well, you know what? I'll go ahead and take it anyway.
Well, I mean, if you're not taking it because you are 100% sold on it, then you need to move around. Why don't you play
okay
with yourself or him?
Juan, now that you know what the question is.
You talked about, you know, the brother's pushing, and Jenny wants to take it easy. I just say like this, you know, you talked about connecting or working or you know, connecting and really being together, you know, one not ahead of the other, one not behind the other. And I think that Jenny's just going to have to let, you know, kind of go with the flow. If you're pushing, Jenny doesn't respond, then what might happen is Johnny might go to some other Jenny. You know, I mean, at this point, she's got
to Johnny
find
might
out
go to Janet.
Janet, right. Janet. Or there could be two Jenny. You know, I don't know. But the real reality is, if he is persistent on having a monogamous relationship and making a commitment, and she's not ready for that, then she needs to let him know. Bottom line. And she has to take the consequence on the choice what Johnny's going to do. She has to give Johnny the option of knowing what it is. Because the only thing Johnny's doing is irritating her, harassing her,
right,
whatever level you want to call it.
Right.
You know, at this point, you know, she's like, I don't want to lose this guy, but he's fucking the living, you know, out of me. So
yeah.
I think right now, come on, tell him what's up. Don't let him be so persistent. And if he doesn't like it, accept the fact that he has a choice. Either I'm going to throttle back,
I'm gonna see what's going on. I got other stuff I could do to take away my attention from this, but I'm gonna be real with it. Or he's gonna say, well, sorry, Jenny. Janet's giving me her planet, and he goes that way. You know what I mean?
Well, you know what? You know what, though, Juan, you know what's more likely to happen a lot of times with a brother like that, though, unfortunately? He will try to find another way to convince her. Because remember, brothers, we persistent when we really want something.
Yeah.
So he gonna have to almost get cussed out if she really ain't in that place. I'm going to tell you, that's what's going to really happen. If we want to keep it real, if he really got his sights locked on her, oh, man, you already know. He doing everything. You know, so she gonna almost have to cuss him out. And then at that point, if she really gets to that point, then she ain't messing with him anyway no more. Because now she ain't liking him no more.
Well, I want to know, when Johnny stopped doing what he's doing, he's with someone else, what Jenny going to feel? Is Jenny going to be like, oh, I done messed up?
But she might not, though, man. Because at the end of the day, if she knew she wasn't there, she wasn't there. So you know what? Hopefully she'll say, you know what, I'm glad, Johnny, you did what you did, brother, because you really, you know, to be honest, where I wasn't where you wanted me to be, and it wasn't going to really happen. So I'm glad you are with Jane over there.
And everybody's satisfied.
That's cool. That's cool. Because it's timing. It's about timing, man. It's about timing. I'm telling you, it's really about timing. It's
Red,
about timing. It's about
what do you say? What
Come
do
on,
you
Red.
Say?
Red.
What do I say about Jenny?
Ooh.
Well, Jenny shouldn't be in a relationship if she needs to continue to be a butterfly and spread her wings. Is that better for you, Mark, since you didn't like my whole people running around? So,
no, you know why? Because I'm going to put another thing on what you said.
Mark, let's fuck the
door.
You don't want batteries. Butterfly carry batteries.
No, check this out, Red. I wish I was in Uptown right now. Do you drink coffee or do you drink wine? Or what are you drinking?
Me.
Because I want to know what you drink.
You got 5 hour energy.
Me. This is natural. This is natural.
No. You ain't hearing me, Brad. What's your favorite libation?
What is my favorite libation? When I'm in a mood, I like Cosmopolitan.
So you like cranberry juice. Okay, beautiful. Check it out. I wish I was in Uptown because I would take you out for one. So I could sit across the table and listen to you tell me the stuff you be saying. I would love to see it come out your mouth. I would love to see that.
What I would say to Jenny Bree is that if she wants to remain a butterfly, because I am ignoring Mr. Houston, she doesn't need to be in a relationship. She doesn't. Because you don't want to be stuck with someone pressing you to be something that you're not. If you're not ready for that, then you need to continue to do your thing somewhere else. That would be my advice.
Oh, she's gonna work me. Okay. Oh well. Won't be the first time. We'll get over it.
Well, you know, Red got class. You know, her favorite libation is Cosmopolitan. I know a lot of women.
I like Cosmos. I like Cosmos.
Well, I know a lot of women. Their favorite libation is semen. So there you go.
Oh my God!
Damn.
I don't know, there are no words. There really are no words that I can articulate right now. I just want to.
Wow.
Really,
I mean, I don't even know. You know what, Red? I'm sorry that I asked you about a libation. If I had known that it was going to get this man to say that, I would have never said nothing like that. So I apologize on his behalf.
Thank you.
I'm sorry, dear. I would have never asked about a libation. I can't believe he said, oh, my God.
I ain't messing with y'all, man. I'm going to pack my bag. I'll see y'all later. Love y'all. I got to go.
Yeah, I see the through the damn airwaves.
Travel safe. Oh, my God. Wow.
And he hung up.
You hung up, y'all.
Oh, my God.
Gotta go, gotta go, gotta go.
Wow.
Wow. Okay.
That's
all right. I'm going to see him tomorrow. And before I give him a big hug and kiss, because I ain't seen him in a long time, I'm going to kick him in his ankle like I used to do in first grade.
Yeah, can you do that twice, please? Do one for me.
Yeah.
That's just
oh,
like,
goodness.
Come on.
Ankles.
Wow.
Woo! All of this because of a libation. Mm.
Oh, mm-hmm. And, of course, it's your fault.
You know what I'm saying? It's my. That's why I apologize, because I provoked him.
Oh, my gosh. I don't even know what to say anymore. I'm stuck over here.
Well, on that note, we are going to end the freestyle. And I want to thank everyone for participating. I want to thank my co-host. I want to thank the guest panelists, Red, Juan, Places Unknown, and the jack-o'-lantern that exited a few seconds ago.
Jack-o'-lantern.
Yeah. Oh, I got to remember that. Jack.
Jack-o'-lantern. As opposed to a fracking knackle.
Right. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we at the Bree Life Radio Show, we love you all on purpose. Thank you for participating. And I must say, it has been an interesting, as usual, freestyle. I'm your girl, Bree. Follow us next week. As you know, we're going to have a live conversation about something. And thank you for listening. And I'm out.
Yeah, yeah.
A-Dream in the building. Shout out to Bree. What up, Bree? And we're going to go in. Look.
Yes, sir.
Look. We came to break down a few topics here. So if you got time, sit and acknowledge it. It's positive, uplifting, and honest here. Keep your ears open and soaking all the words spoken. A couple of jokes to keep it fun, get your laugh on. And maybe a few pointers to get your cash on. See Bree, she all about building. Straight up out the NY, Brooklyn in the building. All the way down to the southern states. West Coast on up to the Great Lakes. So you fragging echoes, so if you ain't fragile, through the net connection, we streaming you to Mexico. So welcome to the life of Bree, breaking down the name of smoke to the third degree. This is the Bree life, what you live in life. Welcome to the Bree life, how we live in life. From politics to current events, economics to race, whether you're poor or you're rich. This is the Bree life, what you live in life. Welcome to the Bree life, how we live in life.
Hello? What's it doing? Contemplating whether what? Why? Oh, wow. In 6 days? Well, in court, I'm sure you can ask for more time in the worst case scenario. You said what?
Well, you can request it. Security is normally not used for towards rent unless it's agreed on between the tenant and the landlord. Well, meaning the management company and the tenant. So you can maybe be able to request to have that much time. Or you know, you can decide you're going to cut your losses and do what you need to do and maybe come back to Brooklyn and use that 2 months rent, you know, however you choose. Oh, that's true. That's true. That's true. Right, and who knows what will happen in the next day or the next amount of time. Well, was the eviction notice to go to court, or was the eviction notice... Okay, so he is, and is that 6 business days or just 6 days? Okay, so you have, you can wait until Monday or Tuesday, and you have to file what is called an order to show cause to delay the eviction. Yeah, you go to court. And you file an order to show cause. And you say you want to have an opportunity to present, you know, to the court what your situation is and to have time. And I don't know how you feel about this, but here's also another option. When you do that, you can also... can also go to social services and request assistance to become current in your rent. Whether or not, like, let's say tomorrow you find out you get the job, right? And but you know you still got to deal with this eviction issue. Because you're behind in the rent, and whether or not you start, if you start the job in a week or two, you're still not going to have the resources you need to have in order to become current with the rent to prevent the eviction. So what you would have to do is go to social services and apply for what is called a one-shot deal. In the one-shot deal, you take the eviction papers along with your lease. And your light and your gas bill if you pay that separate from your rent, take that to social services and they will give you a one-shot deal to become current with your rent. And then you take that notice from social services to court, and you show the judge that you've applied for and that's also something that can delay the eviction. You go to social services and you apply for assistance to become current in your rent.
So, because technically you need about 30 to 45 days to for your case to be accepted by social services. So, you know. And then also if you have health issues, which you do, you know, that also helps your case.
Okay, can we get everybody lined up? All kinds of plans. Thank you. Thank you. the big deal about her using the bathroom?
About